All right, let's dive into a case that really shook up the legal world, Meinhard v. Salmon. Even decades later, it's still making waves.
It really is a landmark case.
It totally is. It even inspired that famous line from Judge Cardozo, "Not honesty alone, but the punctilio of an honor the most sensitive." Talk about him setting a high bar for business ethics, right?
Absolutely. And it shows just how important this idea of fiduciary duty is.
For sure. It's not just some old legal story.
Mm.
It still affects how business relationships work today, which is kind of amazing.
Right. Like, it's still relevant.
So to really get what's going on here, let's go back in time to 1920s New York City.
Okay. Yeah.
Picture the Hotel Bristol.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It was this real estate gem right in the heart of the city.
Fancy.
That's where our story starts.
Yeah.
The two main characters.
Oh.
Older Salmon.
Okay.
He was a businessman. Loved a good deal.
All right.
And Morton Meinhard, the investor who helped Salmon get things going.
Ah, the money guy.
Exactly. They teamed up to kind of revitalize this hotel.
So a joint venture.
Yeah, exactly. Joint ventures are super common in business. Think of it like you and a friend want to open a cafe.
I like where this is going.
You both put in money, you both put in effort, you share the profits. Hopefully some delicious pastries too, right?
Of course, gotta have the pastries.
That's the basic idea behind a joint venture. It's all about trust and having a shared vision.
Makes sense.
So in this cafe example, Salmon would be the one making the coffee, and Meinhard would be the one who found that perfect corner location for the cafe.
Okay, I can see that.
And that's basically what happened with the Hotel Bristol. Meinhard put up half the money, essentially bankrolling the venture.
He was the financial backbone.
Yeah, and Salmon took the lead on managing the property. They agreed to split the profits, but their deal was tied to their 20-year lease on the hotel.
So they had a clear agreement, a set time frame.
Exactly. But I have a feeling the 20-year lease is where things start to get a little messy. As that lease was coming to an end, a huge opportunity came up, a chance to get a new lease. But this wasn't just any lease. We're talking a much bigger piece of land, a brand new building, potentially decades of profit.
Wow, that's a game changer.
Like, their cafe suddenly had a chance to become a whole restaurant empire.
That's a serious upgrade.
But here's the twist. Instead of telling Meinhard about this amazing opportunity, Salmon went solo.
What?
He negotiated this massive new lease in secret. Meinhard was completely left out.
That doesn't seem right. Even if the 20-year agreement was almost over, they were still partners.
Exactly. And that's the big question this case brings up. Did Salmon cross a line? Was he just a smart businessman going after a great opportunity? Or did he break the trust that's at the heart of any joint venture? I mean, their partnership wasn't over yet.
That's a tough one.
So I'm guessing Meinhard wasn't too thrilled about being left in the dust.
I wouldn't be.
He felt totally betrayed and decided to take legal action. He sued Salmon for violating the core principles of their partnership, specifically this idea of fiduciary duty. In this case, it was far from simple.
So we've got secret deals, a potential breach of trust, and a lawsuit. This is getting good. What happened next? Did they settle quietly?
Oh, not at all. This case took a bunch of twists and turns, like a legal drama in real life. In fact, at first, a referee awarded Meinhard 25% of the new lease, but then the appellate division jumped in and totally changed things.
They did.
Yeah. They more than doubled Meinhard's share to 50%, a major shift. But the legal battle didn't end there. This case had one final stop, the Court of Appeals of New York. That's where Judge Cardozo, the legal legend himself, took center stage.
Now we're talking. Judge Cardozo, he's a big deal. So what did he have to say about this whole joint venture mess?
Well, get ready, because Cardozo's ruling would change how we think about joint ventures forever.
Wow.
And it all came down to his view on fiduciary duty. He set a standard that still matters today.
All right, I'm hooked. Let's hear it.
Let's break down Cardozo's decision and see what it means for business relationships, partnerships, and even our own collaborations.
I'm ready.
Okay, so we've got this huge legal battle, and then Judge Cardozo comes in with a decision that's going to make history. I want to hear what he said about this whole fiduciary duty thing. Did he side with Meinhard?
Well, yeah, he did, but it's not that simple.
Okay.
Cardozo really changed how we understand fiduciary duty, especially in joint ventures.
Interesting.
It wasn't just about being honest. He talked about the finest loyalty.
Finest loyalty. That sounds intense, almost like something out of King Arthur's court. What did he mean by that?
That's a great question, and it gets right to the core of what Cardozo was saying.
Okay.
He said, when you're in a joint venture, you're not just looking out for number one, you know? You have to think about your partner's interests, too.
Right, you're in it together.
Exactly, like you're both rowing the same boat. You can't just ditch the boat when a fancier one comes along without thinking about the person rowing with you.
I get it. It's not just about following the contract word for word. It's about doing what's best for the whole partnership.
Right.
So how did that apply to what Salmon did?
Well, Cardozo didn't see that new lease as just some random lucky break.
Mm.
He thought it was directly tied to their original venture with the Hotel Bristol.
Interesting.
It wasn't just any deal. It was an asset that both Salmon and Meinhard had a stake in because of all the work they'd done together.
So even though their 20-year lease was almost up, their partnership still had value because of the potential of that property.
Mm.
And that potential included this amazing new lease.
Exactly. And to really emphasize this point, Cardozo used some strong language.
Like what?
He said Salmon was in a position where thought of self was to be renounced. Basically, the joint venture had to come before his own personal gain.
Wow, he didn't hold back. So it sounds like Cardozo was pretty clear that Salmon messed up. Case closed, right?
Well, not so fast. The Court of Appeals did uphold the decision for Meinhard, but they made a change to the final outcome. Remember the appellate division gave Meinhard 50%?
Yeah, I was surprised by that. Honestly, with Cardozo's strong words, I thought Meinhard would get the whole thing.
Well, the Court of Appeals actually lowered Meinhard's share to 49%. Salmon got 51%.
They reduced Meinhard's share even though Salmon was the one who broke the trust.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it.
I know, it seems weird, but the court was trying to be fair. They wanted to fix the breach of trust, but they also had to think about making this new venture work.
I see.
Giving Salmon that tiny bit more control let him stay in charge as the managing partner.
So, kind of a compromise. Acknowledge that Salmon did wrong, but also make sure the new venture could actually succeed.
Exactly. But not everyone agreed with this. There was actually a dissenting opinion from Judge Andrews. He had a completely different take on the whole thing.
Oh, a dissenting opinion. So another judge disagreed with Cardozo about fiduciary duty.
That's right. Dissenting opinions are important because they show that there can be different ways to understand the law. And in this case, Judge Andrews thought that focusing so much on fiduciary duty after the initial agreement was over was going too far.
Hmm.
He basically said that their original deal was limited to that 20-year lease, period.
So for Judge Andrews, once that deal was done, Salmon was free to go after new opportunities, even if they were connected to the original venture.
Yeah, pretty much. He thought that focusing on fiduciary duty in this situation was reading too much into things, especially since their contract had a clear end date.
Okay, so we've got Cardozo's big decision that really expands what fiduciary duty means, a dissenting opinion that focuses more on the contract, and this whole debate about loyalty and trust in business partnerships. But how does this affect us normal people who aren't legal experts?
That's the important question, right?
Right.
Because Meinhard v. Salmon isn't just some abstract legal theory. It actually changed how courts view joint ventures, partnerships, and what partners owe to each other.
So what are the practical takeaways? What should someone like me, thinking about starting a business with a friend or going into a joint venture, learn from all of this?
Well, the first thing is clear agreements are super important.
Okay.
You need to spell out the scope of the venture, how long it will last, and what happens when that initial agreement ends. Don't leave anything to chance or just assume your partner will do the right thing. Write it all down.
So get everything in writing. Make sure every detail is super clear.
Exactly. But even with a perfect contract, Meinhard v. Salmon is a warning.
Uh-oh.
Courts might still say you have fiduciary duties even after the contract is over, especially if a new opportunity is related to that original venture.
So even if your contract is airtight, you still have to be loyal and fair. You can't just take advantage of your position or knowledge to benefit yourself and screw over your partner.
That's the point. And this isn't just about old school joint ventures. It's relevant to startups and LLCs today. Yeah, courts often look at the principles from Meinhard v. Salmon when they're dealing with disputes about fiduciary duty, even in these modern business structures.
Wow, so this case isn't just history. It's a legal principle that's still shaping business relationships right now.
Totally. And that brings us to a question that's been around for a long time. Was Cardozo's idea of punctilious honor, putting the partnership first, too idealistic for the business world?
That's a great question. Where do we draw the line between going after what we want and being loyal to our partners? What do you think?
Yeah, it's a question people have been arguing about for almost 100 years, and there's no easy answer.
Right.
Meinhard v. Salmon really makes us think about that clash between wanting to succeed and being ethical in business. You've got that drive to do well, grab opportunities, make as much money as you can.
Yeah.
But then you also have those obligations to be trustworthy and loyal to your partner.
It's like a constant push and pull.
It is.
What's best for me versus what's best for us? So how do you even figure out how to handle that? Mm. Is there a way to balance those things so that no one feels like they got screwed over?
That's the big question. And I think Meinhard v. Salmon makes us think beyond the legal stuff and consider, like, what are the ethical consequences of what we do?
Right.
Is money enough to make up for breaking trust? Or is there something more important at stake here?
That's a really good point. Like, imagine you're Meinhard.
Yeah.
You trusted your partner, you put in your own money, and then he just cuts you out completely.
Ouch.
Would you feel okay knowing that, sure, the court gave you some of the profits, but the person who was supposed to have your back totally stabbed you in the back?
It's tough.
Could any amount of money really make up for that?
It's a hard one, and it makes you think about how much we value trust and loyalty in any relationship, not just business.
Yeah, not just business.
Like, is it something you can just buy? Or is there something deeper going on?
It makes you think about other kinds of collaborations too.
Right.
Like creative partnerships or even just working on a group project for school. Those ideas of trust and being open with each other seem to apply everywhere.
You're right, they do. Meinhard v. Salmon reminds us that contracts might set the rules, but they don't cover everything about working together.
Mm.
There are these unspoken expectations about being fair, communicating openly, and really wanting everyone to succeed.
So what's the big takeaway here? What can we learn from looking at this case that's almost 100 years old?
I think it comes down to being mindful. Be aware of the agreements you make, the potential for things to get messy, and what your actions mean ethically, especially when you're working with other people.
Okay.
The law gives us a framework, but in the end, it's up to each of us to have that punctilio of an honor.
Right.
That commitment to doing the right thing that makes our interactions more than just transactions.
Yeah.
It's about building trust.
That's a powerful thought. It's not just about staying out of court. It's about building relationships based on respect, being honest, and genuinely wanting everyone to do well. That's something we can all learn from no matter what we do.
I agree. And that wraps up our deep dive into Meinhard v. Salmon.
It really makes you think.
It does. Even after all these years, it still has a lot to teach us about trust, loyalty, and how important it is to be ethical in everything we do together.